back.
Have you seen
that was a fast one.
Okay, welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, and we're here with Baylor.
Hello.
Angus. Yawn. Mackenzie. Lisa.
Hey, hey, hey.
Alex.
Hey.
Jeanette.
Hi.
And I'm Justin, and here we're watching Animaniacs.
Hello, I'm Angus.
Where did that come from? Okay, so what is Animaniacs?
All right, all you kiddo.
Animaniacs is a show.
What kind of show?
So the Animaniacs was a show that came out in the early 90s, and it was produced by Steven Spielberg at the time, and it was just that going back to that kind of vaudevillian old school animation, Warner Brothers animation, kind of a bit Looney Tunes type of thing, but with a newer pop culture swing. So there was lots of modern references and things like that, and, you know, and in jokes and things like that. And it also had little segments. So it had, who are the characters from Animaniacs?
Dot.
Who's Dot?
Dot is the sister. Then there's Yakko.
Yeah.
Who's the tall Animaniac. And then there's Wacko.
Wacko.
So Yakko, Wacko and Dot, they're the Warner Brothers and the Warner sister. So,
and the Warner sister Dot.
Yes.
Yep.
So, and they are just this really kind of crazy Three Stooges, high energy, slapstick, wacky, crazy characters, and they just make life hell on the Warner Brothers lot. And they also have little segments in the show. And what's one of the most famous segments that they have on the show?
Oh, Pinky and Brain.
Pinky and the Brain.
Pinky and the Brain originally came from Animaniacs, and it almost became bigger and more popular than Animaniacs itself. So I grew up with that in the early 90s, and it was a classic. And then a couple of years ago,
there was a reboot.
They rebooted it, and it's the same crazy offbeat type of humour, but it's more directed to a modern audience. And they say it in the episode that we're going to be watching. They're trying to appeal to the nostalgic of the older generation, but they're trying to attract in the younger generation as well. So that's twofold. So it's got that same kind of feel. So what we've done is Kenzie wanted to present the newer episode, which is the first episode of the reboot. She absolutely loves it. But we've also found a couple of YouTube videos that have different segments of the old one so you can compare.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So you can understand where it's come from and where it's going to.
Cool.
Did I do good? Did I miss anything? I missed nothing. Oh, good. I think I passed.
You passed.
I passed.
Baylor, have you ever watched Animaniacs before?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
And what did you think? Is it one of the kinds of things you used to watch?
You do this really crazy thing where you ask me about my childhood, and I feel like I'm just different to every other human being on Earth because I don't remember it very well. There are things that I remember, but I probably shouldn't bring them up on podcasts. And there are things that I don't remember, and it's generally a lot of the media that I consumed. There's some stuff that stood out, but I do remember watching stuff like this. So my mum was really madly into Looney Tunes and stuff, so this was one of the things that
you were subjected to.
Yeah.
So there was the two shows that came out around about the same time. There was the Animaniacs, and then there was the Tiny Toon Adventures, which I think it was like the next generation from your Bugs Bunny and your Daffy Duck. It was almost like the Muppet Babies version of Looney Tunes.
Right.
I would not have watched that.
Yeah, but this Animaniacs was so much better.
I kind of remember it being around, but I don't think I've seen any episodes of it. Angus, have you seen any episodes?
I don't think I've seen any episodes, no. It's not familiar to me at all.
Alex, have you seen this before?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Of course he has.
Yeah, it was around... I was a bit younger than Lisa, but it was definitely in my field of vision of coming up from school and seeing all the shows and just seeing Yakko, Wacko and Dot and all the other sketches, because it is basically a sketch show.
Okay.
So I just remember some of the ones that I didn't get at the time, because one of them was basically a parody of Goodfellas, which I did not get at the time, because, of course.
And that was the thing, there were so many things that as a kid we'd watch it and just go like, I don't get that.
Yeah.
And you'd watch it back now and go, oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just a lot of a variety of stuff. Some of it was basically fun and manic, and some of it's Animaniacs. Yeah.
That's a bit weird, referencing things that kids are not going to be watching at the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just the style of, like, especially starting in the 90s.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, they expect parents to be watching at the same time.
Yeah. Usually there was a parent that's watching at the same time. That's the
point of putting adult content into children's media is to make it fun for both the adult and the child.
And if an adult's happy to watch it with the kid, then the kid's more likely to watch it and the adult's more likely to buy the videos and the merchandise and encourage it because they're like, and we've got that. There's certain shows that she want to watch and we're like, oh, can we not? And then there's other ones it's like, oh, yeah, I'll sit down and watch this with you because this is awesome. So.
There's a lot of adults that when Frozen first came out, they really loved it. I remember a lot of parents saying that. And so a lot of them were happy to encourage their kids to watch Frozen. In fact, a lot of dads were happy to dress up as Elsa with their daughters and dance in living rooms. Like, that's not an uncommon thing to have happened. Mm. And so that's why they push so much adult content through all of their shows now, especially more so now than before. Yeah. Like, they don't go full Godfather mode on it and put that storyline in it, but they'll put a lot of sexual innuendos in it. They'll put a lot of things that'll just go over kids' heads when you go back and watch it and go, oh, no.
Even in the, like, 70s, Play School was known for its jokes that went over
children's. I remember there was
jokes for the mums.
Yeah. There were certain people in Play School that my mum used to like watching, and I was like, oh, yeah, you've got a crush on John. And it's like, no, he was just so naughty that the parents used to like watching it too because they're like, oh, my God, what's he going to say this time? So,
I watched it with my uncle when Angus was little, and I was staying with my aunt and uncle. My uncle was in stitches. It was funny. I was laughing at him laughing.
Yeah. And meanwhile, the kids don't care. The kids are just watching something fun on TV.
They don't get it at all.
Yeah. That's the big thing. I just want to quickly jump back as well. I hate, biggest pet peeve of anything ever, I hate when they take, like, the Muppets or they take Looney Tunes or they take anything and they turn them into kids or babies. I hate that. I hate that so much. I hate that as much as taking childlike characters, cartoon characters, and sexualizing them. Like, just they're in that bracket for a reason. Please stop messing with age and all that sort of stuff. Just age, really, is the big thing. I've got a real issue with it.
So have they taken Rugrats and aged them?
Oh, there's a series called, Rugrats All Growed Up when they're in high school. Oh. Yeah.
Which, right, that made sense because they grew up. And I think there was a time frame in between them being babies and them being adults. Like, there was actually a time frame and between them
and
jumping.
The audience actually matched as well because I think I remember then when they did bring that out, I was probably a little bit, but then I was probably a bit older when I got into it. But it was like the actual audience that watched it in the beginning would have been that teenage age
aged
by the time.
Up with it, absolutely. Yeah. I'm fine with that. I'm not fine with taking Kermit the Frog and putting him into a nappy and going, baby Kermit, how cute. Don't you just love it? I really hate it.
The 19 different to Grogan.
But the
baby Yoda.
That's completely different.
Of course, it's completely
different. That's a completely different character.
But the mid-80s Muppet Babies was actually really cleverly done and really innovative. They rebooted Muppet Babies. Like, you know, we're talking about in the last episode how they just keep rebooting Muppet things, but they rebooted the Muppet Babies and it was really uninspired. It was basically just a normal kids show. Nothing for me at all. Should we get onto it?
Let's get on to it. Animaniacs. Okay. On to Animaniacs.
It's time for Animaniacs. Animaniacs to the max. So just go back in the max. You love to do the max. You're Animaniacs.
Welcome back. That was the Animaniacs. Yes, you knew one of the songs in almost entirely.
It started to play The Nations of the World, and I just happened to know the countries of the world because I am a nerd. I was like, hey, it would be fun if I knew all the countries, and I know all the countries, not almost all the countries.
We're going to have to finish off with it.
So we showed the first episode of the reboot, which was from 2020. And then we showed a couple of segments, and one of them was Nations of the World, and the other one was called Willy Shatner or something, and it was like them them fighting with William Shatner over a karaoke competition. They were from the mid-90s.
I thought it was pretty clever all up for an animated show. I thought it was good, clever, fast-moving.
I was really curious to know, someone like yourself who'd never watched either version, how you would have felt about it. I know I grew up with it, and then she started watching the new one, and just it. She's how many times do you reckon you've watched that series?
The series.
Yeah, the new Animaniacs series.
Like, I think if I'm like halfway through it, because you said stop it.
Would I be?
But I did it 1.5
You've watched the whole series way more than 1.5 times. Yeah, she's watched it about 3 or 4 times the whole way through. It's very binge worthy, isn't it?
Yeah. That is a nod of resounding agreement statement.
So, Baylor, how did you cope with that?
It was really good. Yeah. It was pretty much what I remembered it to be. I like that they're still running with their general animation style that they had beforehand, which was pushing the rules of animation, which is something that I loved from the Warner Brothers Animation Studio.
Yes. Mm.
Because they had a lot of that nice squash and stretch sort of thing. So when someone jumped up, they were in the air, compressed like a ball before they came back down in like a nice sort of skinny, slinky way.
They were
way.
Very slinky, yeah.
Yeah. And everything about that is absolutely stunning. Like, that is a great animation style, and I love that they've kept it.
And they really harken back to the old school. So, like, the old school slapstick and vaudeville humour, but then also the old school Looney Tunes, but then they also have, like, a really wily wit about it as well. Yeah.
I also like that they were calling out everything that people were already going to say. Like, oh, we're not true to the script. We're not true to how we are. We've gotten too political. Like, they've just gone, you know what? You're going to do it. So here you go. Like, we're just going to go with it. So I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I really liked it.
Angus, what did you think?
I have only ever seen, like, the snippets of Pinky and the Brain. I didn't realise Pinky and the Brain was part of Animaniacs.
Yeah.
Watching a full episode, I mean, it just was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was...
I was seeing your reaction during it, and you were like, you were really enjoying it, weren't you?
It was really good fun.
What's the kid's term? It slaps.
I've never heard that. I'm so old. Have you heard that before? It slaps. If something's good, it slaps.
No, sorry, when I say kids, I'm 30. I mean, like, 20-year-olds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think they're saying it's based now.
20-year-olds over in the kitchen.
No.
I heard this term.
It still slaps, because that's what my sister says.
Yeah, but it's like bass is starting to become popular as well.
Yeah, I only know it as slaps.
I need to know this stuff, because I'm a cool mum. I'm not.
So how many times have you watched Animaniacs and Pinky in the Brain?
Oh, no, it's just that one thing I happened to just... Because it was memed to death online.
It was memed to death online, right?
Yeah, so it's like a few segments where basically you just make fun of it a lot, and where they adapt it a lot in a variety of different ways. So, like, for the Nations of the World, they have, like, Nations of the World, and every country that, I don't know, United States has had a coup in, they have a bomb effect or something just to be political about it. And
Oh, was there a bomb effect in it? I didn't even
see
it.
No.
It afterwards.
Oh, afterwards.
They basically, in every country where it doesn't exist anymore, they cut up. It's just make jokes about it.
Right.
So yeah, Kenzie watched one. It was like every country that had a Burger King in it. And then it got to the end where they did all of Africa, and it was like at the bottom they went, because there's no Burger Kings in Africa. So I was like, it's just a normal clip. And then it goes back to it and then starts doing like, America and Australia. It's like...
That's great.
Probably makes more sense to her than some of the more political ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Animaniacs?
It was clever. Clever and fun. Like Angus, I'd heard of Pinky in the Brain. I knew the theme song to Pinky in the Brain.
Well, that's because we had a friend that used to sing it incessantly.
Yeah, I know someone used to sing it.
How did you guys not know about Pinky in the Brain?
Oh, I knew of it.
That is the most up Justin's alley thing I've ever watched.
I don't know what you're talking about, Pinky.
I'm fairly sure Justin introduced me and my brothers
to Pinky in the Brain. Yeah, I think he did.
Justin was the one that introduced it to us.
I've never watched it.
You've talked about it. You've sung the song. I've heard you.
That's because I heard it from a friend, that's all.
I just remember introducing Mackenzie to the reboot, and when Pinky the Brain came on, I was just like, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. It just blew her mind.
So does this mean they're going to look at doing like a revamp of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but maybe with a different storyline?
Because
that film was... awesome. Yeah. That's absolutely fantastic.
That film still holds up.
I still watch it.
It's so good.
It's fantastic.
That movie was a bit of a minefield because when you watch the movie, every scene that has Bugs Bunny in it has Mickey Mouse on it. They're on screen for the exact same amount of time in the same frame, and same as Daffy Duck and Donald Duck. Like, there's this real kind of Warner Brothers Looney Tunes versus Disney, and they had to get both of them on board, and it was such a minefield to make all of the different companies happy that they were getting the rights for.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a real minefield. I dare say they probably wouldn't go through that again because you couldn't have one without the other. If you want to have all the tunes, you have to include all the tunes from all the different companies from that era.
Yeah, but they also didn't have anyone's like Popeye or anything like that. What's the studio that did Popeye?
They had Betty Boop. They didn't have Popeye. Yeah. So, yeah. They had a few of them. But, yeah, there were certain ones that they did and didn't have. But then, you know, they would have had to have paid for all of
them. Rights to them would have been rough.
Yeah, it
just
was.
Just to use it.
Yeah, but it works so well. Mm. It's such a genius movie, and I watch it. I remember watching it when I was a kid. I watch it now, and I just appreciate it so much.
Good. Mm. So I see on TikTok, I see a lot of women cosplaying as Jessica Rabbit. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's really nice to see her kind of come to life, and we have the ability and understanding about how to like make it. Them look as similar. It's awesome.
So there they depicted Leonard Nimoy and William Shatner. Mm-hmm. Would have they got rights for that, you think? Or?
No, that would just be fair
use parody.
Fair use parody, yes.
I wouldn't think Shatner would give rights to that. Heard someone say that Chip and Dale was basically Who Framed Roger Rabbit 2. I don't know how...
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
It was very clever. It was very clever, yeah. But it was more... I mean, they obviously stuck within that universe, so they wouldn't have had Warner Brothers characters and Disney characters and this and that and the other. But yeah, the new Chip and Dale movie is really clever. We sat down to watch that thinking, yeah, it'll be a nostalgia trip for us and it'll be basically like watching, oh God, what's that awful, The Chipmunks or something like that. We were expecting that and we were blown away with how good that was and how clever it was. And yeah, and that was a real meta behind the scenes of an animated TV show or behind the scenes of an animated world. That was very clever too. So yeah, I totally get how someone would say that.
Yeah. But, like, the other thing as well is with Who Framed Roger Rabbit, its big thing was it never ran to, like, any specific company. So there was no, like, McDonald's cup in the background. It was always Acne.
Yes.
Acne this, Acne that. And it was really nice to actually just see Acne back up on the screen again.
Yeah.
That was very nostalgic and fun, which I think is what... I just want to see another movie like Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
But with Acne everywhere instead of just Macca's, Dolce.
Yeah.
Prius. I don't know. Just thinking of words.
Yeah.
One interesting thing with that show as well is we showed the original intro from the 90s and it had, you know, Bill Clinton and people like
George Bush.
Yes, yeah. And there was in the new episode, the reboot episode, where they went through and they went through all the like the political, US political stuff that had been going on over the last 20 years. They actually get even deeper. They have a full Trump parody sketch. Yeah. They get very pointed for a kid's show. They definitely. And they have a lot of fun with it. And there's probably stuff there that she's enjoying it because she enjoys the slapstick but doesn't actually get what they're talking about.
Like with the Russian robots at the keyboard with Trump dancing on the computers in front of them.
Well, there was one sketch later on in the series and it was like a Trump parody character that they're picking on and he's got the full spray tan and the blonde toupee and all the rest of it. It was very, very derogatory, but it was very pointed. And I kind of turned around to her and I said, yeah, that's the current US president at the moment. And she's just like, what? it was, they don't really hold back. It's a lot of fun.
No, it's basically taking the Mickey out of anything and everything, no holds back, and talking about how ridiculous it is. I like that side of things. It's nice.
And it was a bit like that back then, but it's, so now.
But it's nice to see it in current media in this way. That's the difference of it, right? Like, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I definitely feel like the latest Simpsons does it, but they do a whole episode to it, whereas in one episode they basically called everything out in the revamp of Animaniacs. Like, they just went, yeah, okay, here you go. Everyone can have a punch in the face.
Yes, literally.
Which is really nice.
Yeah. We finished watching The Simpsons, didn't we, kiddo? We have now watched every Simpsons episode.
I thought it was funny the way it was parodying, rebooting everything while rebooting something.
Yes. But I think it's good. This one was worth mentioning. One, because it was her choice. The other one, which they did, one of the ones they mentioned, DuckTales, was going to be her other choice. But we were like, how are we going to make this work with the old versus the new? But I think this version is probably one of the best reboots I'm aware of. There's a lot of reboots out there, but this one lands.
So I prefer the reboot to the original.
Yes. They took all of the good bits out and they just left the stuff that didn't do as well the first time round. Got all of these other characters and sketches. People don't want that. Let's just give them more Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's the thing.
Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah.
That was really, really good. Thank you very much, Mackenzie, for bringing this to the table.
It was really good.
Yeah, Thank you. Good call.
So what's the food for this one, Angus?
Yes.
Oh.
It was a sandwich.
Yeah, a sandwich.
There was a sandwich, but no.
What kind of sandwich was it? It was a rotten salami sandwich from 22 years ago.
Definitely not a rotten salami sandwich from 22 years ago.
That made me nauseous.
Which he ate.
Yeah, and had no repercussions.
And no repercussions.
Set off the alarm system.
Yeah.
Set off my alarm system.
I don't know on this one. This is interesting. It's easier when it's something, when it's a show that I'm 50-50 on, I feel like. When it's something I like, I need to think of food I like, and it's like, oh no, I have no idea now.
Peanut butter and jam sandwich.
No, no. Maybe like a...
It's got to be something that your mum has cooked, but I have done again and done better. There you go.
That'd be everything.
I'd have to go with it. It was.
Ed's laughing along.
I genuinely don't know. I'm leaning towards just like banana sundae or something like that because just like it's something that's brilliant. Because I really enjoyed that. I could sit down and watch more.
Yeah,
so banana sundae's all around.
Yeah.
And see, I mean, like Baylor's very poker face, so I never know what she's thinking when she's watching something. Yeah. But I'm watching you, and I'm like, you are really enjoying this show.
Yeah. I really.
I'm poker face here, right? But and I'm really sorry, but here's the bingo word. I sat down and watched Star Wars.
Oh my goodness! We haven't even mentioned Star Wars today.
Just going to back it off a little bit.
Phew. Oh, we got there though.
Oh, we just, thank goodness.
I sit down and watch Star Wars with Angus and I spend the entire time going, what? No! Oh my God! Laughing, crying, like I'm very animated. I've got a lot of emotion inside here. But with you guys, it's so much better to just sit here going,
I was a bit like that Dustin the other night. We were re-watching Stranger Things and second season. So going, oh no, you stupid kid, no, don't do that.
Okay. How did you enjoy, have you watched Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yes.
I didn't watch it, but I screamed when I saw the last few minutes of it. Yeah.
When Baylor watches things, Baylor pauses. So
I have to because I talk over the top.
And so that's, I think that leads to the quiet here, but Kenobi, it was just, it was just all the emotions.
Because I have to sit there and I pause and like I digest what I see.
Yeah.
And so what a 30-minute episode for everybody else is like a hour episode-ish for Angus and I, unfortunately. I'm so sorry. I feel really bad about it, but I don't want to talk over a crucial part.
I loved Kenobi from episode one. It was really good.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of nods to like little things in Rebels and stuff like that, which
Adrian said the same thing. He really enjoyed it.
Really, really fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm like reading a lot of the hate that's online and I just think it's ridiculous. It just landed and ran from there and it was great. All the characters were fantastic. Young Leia, she was amazing. She was so good, and it's really important that it was about a little girl as opposed to being about Luke Skywalker. He has his trilogy.
I was going to say, the middle trilogy is all about him.
He's got that.
His story.
It
was really nice. Felt that she, as a character, deserved more story. She is such an interesting character.
And this is the thing, like, they have such strong female characters, and it's really nice that they're starting to get, like, the women are getting more prominent roles, especially in Star Wars, where, like, the entire thing feels like it's a man's story, but we're getting a lot of heroine journeys now.
Okay, so I guess we'll finish off and...
Who's turn is it next month?
Yeah, I'm happy to go next.
What are you picking?
No idea. What am I picking?
Right, we've got Good Life, Tintin, or Rupert.
Oh,
and there was
they were your
picks.
Yeah, I might leave that one for a bit longer. Tintin's good fun, but then again, Good Life Sweetheart's a classic.
Good Night Sweetheart.
That makes sense. Yeah. Maybe Tintin. Tintin's a classic.
We watched the Tintin movie a few weeks ago. It's amazing.
It's so good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've got a Tintin pop-up book somewhere. I bought it. Was very proud. Now it's disappeared into the house.
I don't think Mackenzie really enjoyed it as much as we did.
The other house I live in.
I think it was a bit too Uncanny Valley for her. I think she kind of got a bit, the movie. Yeah. We enjoyed it, but I don't think it kind of gelled with her.
Mm. She might like the animated series then.
This house has its own upside down.
Yeah, no joke.
Okay, so that was the Animaniacs.
Yes. And was it Zany to the Max, everyone?
It was Zany to the Max.
It was Zany to the Max.
So what's that song?
The Nations of the World song. I'm not doing it.
I learned the very modern
Major General, and I thought that was a little bit bonkers. I don't even know how you're able to learn that song.
Yeah, because like it's just countries, and you're supposed to know. Especially cause, like, I missed out three of them, and the second, like, say for the Asian verse, it's India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, so on, so on. And I've got the line that started with Sri Lanka, and it screws you up because you're like, what's the rest of the line? I know it's got New Zealand in there somewhere. But
they should make that song like part of the entry requirements when you become an ambassador in the UN.
I heard a podcast years ago and it had
outdated.
Maurice LaMarche and another really well-known, I can't think of who the other voiceover character was, and he did that song. He still remembered it after so many years. He just smashed it out.
He does back there. I forget his name.
Next, can you do alphabet aerobics?
What's that bit of?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that was the one.
Artificial animals, aren't it all amazing? Analytically, I assault and amate things. Amaze things.
Mm-hmm. I've only ever seen
Daniel Radcliffe
do it. Yeah. It's so good.
So good. It's a lot of fun.
At some point, I'll have to remember that. Yeah, because I'm okay at rote learning, but I think I need to keep it up.
Okay, so that was the Classic Cult TV Club. Everybody can say goodbye.
Goodbye!